If you have your Bibles tonight, you could open to the first chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 reads, and I want you to find it. How many of you brought your Bible with you? Hold up. Hold up your Bible. Oh, isn't that a beautiful sight? Just hold it up there a minute. Now, like Brother Osteen says, wave it and make the devil mad. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Just look across here. See? All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, that's so good, I want to read it again. My. If we just went home now, we could go home and say we've been blessed. I mean, there's a whole spiritual meal just in that one verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now, I want you to notice that it didn't say who is going to bless us. Who hath? Or in modern usage, we'd say who has blessed us. Now, what has he blessed us with? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Some way or another, I was impressed tonight as I prayed about this service to speak on this subject, things that belong to us. You know, you can't take advantage of what belongs to you unless you know what belongs to you. And a lot of times when it comes to praying and exercising faith, a lot of times people try to pray for things that really don't belong to them, and that's the reason the prayer is not answered. Sometimes they try to claim things that's not theirs. But you see, anything that the Bible says is yours, is yours. Can you say amen? Amen. And you can claim that. Now, you don't have a right to claim my automobile because it belongs to me. It don't belong to you. Now, you can claim one if you need one, but you can't claim mine. You might claim one like it, but you can't claim it because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. And you can't claim the other fellow's wife. Because she doesn't belong to you, she belongs to him. Now, you might claim a wife if you don't have one, but one that doesn't belong to somebody else. I'm talking about things that belong to her. Now, that may sound strange to you, but you know people do all kinds of silly things trying to claim things that don't belong to them. Are you listening to me? And then they fall flat on their face and wonder why it doesn't work. Well, come on back to the Word and find out what belongs to you. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, God the Father in His great grace has given to the church enough to make it rich and strong. Praise the Lord. The text said every spiritual blessing. I mean, not any are left out. Who has blessed us with all, or another translation said, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, that means in his redemptive work that God did in Christ from the time that Jesus was made sin until he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Whereas they just got through singing, He ever lives to make intercession for us, belongs to the church. Everything he did belongs to the church, the body of Christ. We have been blessed. Hallelujah. Jesus did nothing for himself. You know, he didn't need it because he didn't need anything. Everything he did it for us. Well, first of all, here's the golden text of the Bible. You're acquainted with it. Probably one of the first verses you ever learned, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus was God the Father's gift to a lost world. And he has never taken back that gift. Are you listening to me? The world owns Jesus. Whether or not it acknowledges ownership, the world owns Jesus. Thank God I've accepted him. Hallelujah. But did you know that he belongs? I'm talking about things that belongs to us. Did you know that Jesus belongs to the worst sinner in this city just as much he does to me? Did you know that Jesus belongs to the prostitute just as much as he does me? Did you know that Jesus belongs to the murderer on death row just as much as he belongs to me? Now, he won't do him any good unless he acknowledges his ownership. But you see, God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus is God's gift to the world. And he's never taken that gift back, has he? You know, that's really the message he wanted to go tell them instead of going beating them over the head. Go tell them what belongs to them. Praise God. Can you say amen? And you know, they're finding it out everywhere. Folks in prisons, we have a prison ministry. We put our books and tapes and so on in prisons all across America and around the world. And I have chaplains, state chaplains, or state penitentiary chaplains, chaplains from federal penitentiary who write and tell me, we've never gotten a hold of any books that change people's lives like yours does. One main thing is they tell people what belongs to them. Praise God forevermore. And so I remember last Christmas, I got a letter from one of the inmates down here at McAllister, right here in Oklahoma, from death row. And then it had about 8 names on it. And they said they used to call this death row. Now they call it hallelujah row. Because they'd been born again, come to know Jesus. Are you listening to me? Because, see, Jesus belonged to them on death row just as much as he did you on the pew in the first such and such a church. See, that blows some people's mind. They think he just belongs to church folks. They think he just belongs to goody-goody people. No, goody-goody people need to get Jesus as Savior so he'll cure their goody-goodiness. And make them worth something. And then those real bad, sinful people, you know, they need to acknowledge his ownership, praise God, so that they'll become what he wants them to be. Can you say amen? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, God has not taken that gift back. God so loved the world that he gave. And so the world owns Jesus, whether or not it acknowledges his ownership. I'm glad I, for one, have acknowledged his ownership. He is mine, and I am his. Hallelujah. Now, all that Jesus did in his substitutionary sacrifice is the private property of the individual for whom Jesus did it. That's so important, I want to say it again. I don't want you to forget it. I said all that Jesus did in his substitutionary sacrifice is the private property of the individual for whom Jesus did it. You see, he is not just the substitute of we folks who have accepted him. He's the substitute of everyone, and that is private property that belongs to every one of us. Now, of course, it won't do you any good unless you know it and take advantage of it, but it's still yours anyway. You see, the sinner does not need to beg God to save him. The work's already been accomplished. All that he needs to do is to accept it and to thank God for it. But you see, there's so much human reasoning mixed in. There's so much church teaching. And I say so many times folks have followed church teaching instead of New Testament teaching. They have been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And so because of these things, many folks have been hindered from receiving the blessings God intended they should have. I don't know, I'm preaching all the time myself. I like to hear others preach. I'm teaching more than I'm preaching. But for many, many years, till we started the Rhema Training Center, Bible Training Center, we were constantly on the road and in ministry teaching, usually thing, every day and preaching every night. Just around the clock. I went for years and didn't take off maybe just a week at Christmas time. And then the very next Sunday after Christmas, I'd hit it again. And for many years I went like that. I'd preach so many times and teach. I like to hear others. Now I'd feed my own spirit on the Word of God and feed by reading. And sometimes just spend all night long, you see, reading books as well as the Bible. But I don't, you know, I never had the privilege to listen to a lot of folks because I'm speaking all the time myself. And even yet, I speak 11 times usually every single week. Well, it takes preparation to speak 11 times every single week. Because I teach a class in this auditorium 3 times a week right now, first year students, and 2 times a week of second year students. So every morning I have a Bible lesson here for students. And then each afternoon when I'm here, I teach healing school. And then I teach, so that's 5 days a week, 2 times is 10. And use the thing, I carry this service here on Sunday night. So that's 11 times. Well, you speak on 11 different subjects, week in and week out. It takes time, it takes preparation. I like to hear others speak, I don't get too often. But sometimes, I'll be honest with you, in hearing others supposedly preaching the gospel, I'm appalled at how little gospel there is in it. Or truth that there is in it. I remember some time ago, now this is before we started Rhema Bible Training Center, we're out full time on the road. We, as usual thing, in church meetings, you do not have a Saturday night service. And so the pastor said to me, Brother Lincoln, I'm going over and visit a certain meeting that was in progress. And such a place, would you like to go with me? I was traveling alone at that time. I said, with my wife and I. And I said, oh yeah, I'd like to go. You know, I want to hear that evangelist. This man was he was the number one top evangelist in that part of the country for that full gospel denomination. So my wife wasn't with me, so I went with that man and his wife over there to visit that service. Well, of course, the pastor there acknowledged that we were there. He had us to say a little word or two, you know. And they've got into the service. And the evangelist, he finally took his text and he preached. But when he began to give the altar call, I tell you, he mixed so much unbelief in with it that it's no wonder to me didn't anybody respond. You see, he had to, because he had special singers along with him in the evangelistic team. And they were singing and he invited sinners to come to the altar to be saved. And he kept saying, you know, you can't never tell, this might be your night. Well, I thought about what the Bible said. Today is the day of salvation. Now, I'd tell folks, this is your night. Come on, get it. Amen. And then nobody came. You couldn't hardly blame them for not coming because he told them they might not get saved anyway because it might not be their night. Now, it's funny. It sounds funny, dear friends, but it would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. And so then he had them to sing another verse and nobody came. And he encouraged folks to come and they still didn't. Finally, he said, well, let's sing one more verse. You know, said, come on, give God a chance. Well, you're not giving God a chance anything. He's already done something about it. Notice the text said that he hath blessed us. Not going to, he has. He's already sent Jesus. Jesus already died. Jesus already shed his blood. Praise God forevermore. He's already been raised from the dead. Hasn't he? He offers you a gift. Remember that Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Come and receive the gift. Hallelujah. And then he went on to give his own experience. Now, it's all right to refer to experience if it's in line with the Word of God. But I'll be honest with you, in hearing a lot of testimonies a lot of times, I'm appalled at how many times the testimony and the experience is out of line with the Word of God. And fosters unbelief and doubt and hindrance instead of help and faith. So he went on to give his experience of being saved. He said, I had to pray 3 days and nights before I could get God in the notion of saving me. Now that's what he said. I immediately thought about what the Bible said. You didn't have to get to God the notion to save him. The Bible said Christ was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God was in the notion of saving him way before the foundation of the world. He didn't have to talk God in the notion of saving him. Sometimes when it comes to healing, people think the same thing. I've heard folks say that. Well, if God takes a notion, he'll heal you. If he don't, he won't. No, he's already done something about your healing. We'll see that in just a moment. So this fellow said, I had to pray 3 days and three nights before I could get God the notion of saving me. He had him to sing another song, invite people to come, and nobody came. I didn't blame him. Dear Lord, he just got through telling them it might not be their night anyway. And if they might pray 3 days and night and still not be saved. So I mad many of them thought, why the effort? So they didn't come. You wouldn't hardly blame them for coming. And not coming. And then he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said there's been some folks that's been seeking the Holy Ghost during this meeting, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you understand. He said, now hadn't anybody received? I could well understand why. But he said there's been several seekers, so you folks come on, said you can't tell, this might be your night. But friends, the Holy Ghost belongs to folks, praise God. Amen. Are you listening to me? And so they didn't anybody come. They sang a song. He said, well, sing another verse now. Come on, you folks have been seeking God. You know, I know it's a getting late, all right. He looked at his watch. It's getting late. But he said, after all, more people have received the Holy Ghost after midnight than any other time. Well, if folks got the Holy Ghost after midnight, it's because they didn't believe God before midnight. You know, God's not any different after midnight than he is before midnight. He's always the same, isn't he? Now, the thing about it, see, all of these man-made ideas is the thing that hinders people and fills them full of unbelief. So I guess it was so late anyway, they thought, well, these folks had been seeking the Holy Ghost, said, this is Saturday night, you know, and they got to get up and come to Sunday school and church in the morning. And he said, they'd probably have to wait till after midnight anyway, and then might not get it, so they just didn't respond. So they sing the final verse, and he said, I'll tell you what. Now, here is the leading evangelist for a full gospel denomination in his part of the country. He's the number one. And so he said, I'll tell you what. Now, Brother Hagin is here with Brother so-and-so, this pastor, you know. He has a reputation of praying for the sick and getting them healed. I'll tell you what, said, if any of you folks need healing, you come sit down on the altar and I'll have Brother Hagin come lay his hands on you. Said, I don't ever pray for the sick myself. I don't much believe in it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making it up. And three brave souls waded through unbelief neck deep down there and sat down on the altar. And then they invite me to come. He's been filling them full of unbelief for an hour and a half in his preaching and altar call. And you come, no chance to get any word in them. And lay hands on them and get them healed, which is virtually impossible. Because you've got to wade through unbelief neck deep to get down there. And then after you get down there, to lay hands upon them instead of the ministers that's there backing you up. And if they do get close enough, you can feel their hot breath of unbelief on your neck. And then of course you don't get them healed. And then they go off, say, now that's the way with them healing evangelists. They claim so much, you know, and I hadn't prayed for the sick in my meeting. Didn't anybody get anything? I guess not. I mean, if the Lord Jesus Christ himself had been there, he wouldn't have been able to help them. I know the Bible said so, because in Mark 6:5, it says there in his hometown, and he could there do no mighty work, and he marveled because of their unbelief. If unbelief hindered him then, it'll hinder him now. Well, thank God for those things that belong to us. Can you say amen? Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Gift. See that word, gift? Gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift. Faith comes by acting on the Word of God. We act on the Word. We take Jesus as our Savior. We confess Him as our Lord. And we receive everlasting or eternal life that moment. You see, God makes it so plain for people to receive. You remember Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that talking about being saved? He's not talking to people that's already saved, is he? So that's written to sinners then, isn't it? Tells them exactly what to do. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The margin says Jesus as Lord. That means you confess He's your Lord because you've taken Him as your Savior. Confessed Him as your Lord. And when you do, you'll receive eternal or everlasting life. Now then notice Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We were right there in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Now get that 10th verse. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, by God in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice that. You see, he was talking about salvation in those previous two verses. We read them, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. You see, the work was accomplished. That's what I want you to see. I'm talking about things that belong to it. The work was accomplished before Christ arose from the dead. And that work belongs to us now. All we need to do is to accept it. I'm so glad I accepted it. Praise God. Then, my friends, we need to realize this, that healing for our physical body, if or when we're sick, belongs to us. Now, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 4th and 5th verses, Isaiah 53:4, King James translation said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet in many, even King James translations, the margin will let you know that the Hebrew said, surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Then in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. See, that work's already been done. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Then Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now you see, some people said, well, that means we're healed from sin. Do you ever stop and think about the sinner is not healed from sin? That kind of language is not found in the New Testament. Because you see, if the sinner, or you for instance, as a Christian now, was just healed, your spirit was just healed, you'd still have the same spirit you had, which is out of fellowship with God. Your spirit is born again and becomes a new man in Christ Jesus. You see, if you had a pain in your elbow, seemed like it just don't work right, and we laid hands on you as healed, You didn't get a new arm and a new elbow. You got the same elbow you had. You just got healed of that. If you had a headache and we prayed and your headaches heal, you don't get a new head. You got the same head you had. You see, if the sinner was healed of sin, he'd still be a sinner. But he's not healed of sin. Thank God he receives remission of sins, and his spirit is born again and becomes a new man in Christ Jesus. But you see, we need to realize, friends, that God not only laid our sin on Jesus and that he bore our sins, but God laid our diseases on Jesus and our sickness on Jesus. And in the mind of God, we were healed then. I said, in the mind of God, we were healed back there then when he bore them. See what 1 Peter 2:24 said? By whose stripes you are going to be healed? No. By whose stripes there's a possibility of you being healed? No. By whose stripes ye were healed? Were. That's past tense, isn't it? Well, now somebody said, if that's so, well, why don't everybody have it? Well, you see, if the new birth and the remission of sin belongs to the whole world, why don't they all have it? Because they don't claim what belongs to them. Are you listening to me? They either don't know what's theirs, or if they know it, they don't claim it and receive it. Claim ownership. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Well, you see, the church has not been faithful to teach the full truth as it should. See, many even in poor gospel, charismatic, Pentecostal circles, well, the Lord heals if it's his will. That'd be sort of like saying, the Lord saves people if it's his will. If it's not, he lets them go on to hell. But no, we know that it is his will because it's his word. How many times have I seen it? Now, it takes time sometimes. Because you see, let me go back again to a statement that I made. We have been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And I'm going to be honest with you now. I have to be honest. See, I was born and raised Southern Baptist. Well, of course, we didn't believe in divine healing. But on the bed of sickness, when I became bedfast, the doctor said I had to die, five of them. My spirit on the inside, something told me it's in the book. So I got in the book and found it and was healed. Well, then you see, that's the thing, even though I was a young Baptist boy pastor, that's the thing that caused me to come around full gospel circles and people was when I found out they believed in divine healing. And then, of course, I found out also they believed in being baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. In 1937, well, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues, received the left foot of fellowship from among the Baptists. I was talking to Dr. Hulkin one time, pastor down here at First Baptist Church here in my office, you know, and he smiled and said, I heard you say that on TV, that I know exactly what you're talking about. But when I came home among Pentecostal people, I was astounded, you see, because I saw certain truths, you see, that we Baptists didn't see. But I was astounded that there was so much tradition. I knew there was a lot of tradition among Baptists, but even among the Pentecostals. There was so much tradition that really wasn't New Testament. Sometimes they brought some of it out of the church they used to be in before they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then when it comes to this subject, see, I've always believed it. I'm in my 48th year of ministry. I've completed 47 full years of ministry. I'm in my 48th year of ministry. And at the same time, I'm in my 48th year of divine health. I don't believe that God only took our infirmity and bare our sicknesses. I believe he provided a way where we wouldn't even have to be sick. Last headache I had was August of 1933. You know, you get a hold of something good, you want to share it with everybody, don't you? I said, don't you? Don't you? Praise God. Well, you see, I got a hold of something good. It was healing and health to me. Because, see, when I found it out, see, I had a deformed heart. My body was practically totally paralyzed. They had to turn me on a sheet. I had an incurable blood disease. I weighed 89 pounds. I'm on a deathbed. but have found out, blessed be God, the truth, and walked in the light of it. Are you listening to me? Well, now, I've always believed that. I've preached that, you see. For 48 years, I haven't changed my message. I'm still preaching the same message I always preach. I may have a little added light in some areas, but basically speaking, the same message, identically. And so I would preach that everywhere I'd go. I'd talk to pastors. Now, you see, after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm preaching in Pentecostal church, full gospel churches, entirely, for many, many years. And even among those that said they believed that healing's in atonement, as I questioned the pastors, I found that 8 out of 10 didn't really believe it. They not only didn't believe it, but didn't preach it. So therefore, I had to try to make up for all those other 10 spend all of my time preaching it. I mean those other 8 out of 10. No, I believe just what the Bible said. By whose stripes ye were healed. I tell the story sometimes. It's the most one of the most outstanding. I can think of other experiences. But the reason I think of this, I'm right here in the state of Oklahoma, and this happened here in the state of Oklahoma in 1950. First time I ever preached in the state of Oklahoma. I'd been here as a little boy, came up and visited kinfolks over around Norman, Oklahoma. But first time I'd ever preached in the state of Oklahoma, 1950. Well, now here was a lady that they brought to the services that had been through the clinic in Oklahoma City. And specialists, best doctors in the state of Oklahoma, specialists, had said that she would never walk again the longest day she lived. And for 4 years she had been tied to her chair. She was 72 years of age. Since she was 68 years of age, she had never taken one single step. The doctors, specialists, said she'll live and die that way. Well, there are various ways to minister to the sick. Sometimes you minister with special manifestations and operations of the Holy Ghost. I do, and others. Sometimes with a special anointing. But then when that's not there, what are you going to do? Well, thank God the Word of God always belongs to us. And it's already anointed. I said the Word of God's already anointed. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So I just simply open my Bible to 1 Peter 2:24. Set it on that crippled woman's lap and had her to read the verse out loud. Now she's a member of a full gospel church that believes in divine healing. She had been prayed for many, many times. All the leading healing evangelists in the United States had laid hands upon her. And so I ask her a question. Did you notice it said by whose stripes you were healed? Yes. Now I said, is were past tense, future tense, or present tense? Never will forget it. Never will forget it. Just a little while before, in ministry, I'd heard her begging the Lord to save her. Or to heal her. Oh, please, please heal me. Oh, please heal me. Well, that would be sort of like you. I mean, if you came to church tonight in an automobile, let's see your hand. All right, when the meeting's over, you go out and stand by your car and said, oh, Lord, please give me a car. Please, Lord, please. No, take advantage of what you own. Take advantage of what's yours. So I remember that dear little lady said, well, if we were healed, I was. See, one time we think we're believing the Bible. We're not believing in line with the Bible at all. Now just mark it down. If you believe in line with the Word of God, you get results. If you haven't got results, I don't mind telling you, you're not in line with the Word. So check up and find out where you're not in line with the Word. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? And so, she said, if we were healed, I was. There, when our disease and sickness were laid on him, I said, that's right. In the mind of God, you were healed nearly 2,000 years ago. In the mind of Jesus, you were healed because he remembers when he took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses nearly 2,000 years ago. In the mind of the Holy Ghost, You were healed nearly 2,000 years ago because he inspired Peter to write by whose stripes you were healed. I said, will you do what I tell you to do? She said, I will if it's easy. Then you see, you have to know something, dear friends. You have to realize that faith is not of the head. It is not mental. It is spiritual. It is of the heart or the spirit. Go back to the verse there about salvation. In Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice the 10th verse, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation, with the mouth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice it said, with the heart man believeth. Did you know your heart's not your head? Certain it isn't. Here's one verse that'll help you to see it isn't. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your own understanding, isn't that, would not be your own mentality? Here is where the problem is. People are trying to assert ownership with their heads. You have to do it with your heart. Are you listening to me? Now, I can see this. She didn't say this to me. But you have to perceive the difference in dealing with people, in ministering to people, between the mental and the spiritual. Easy to discern the physical. There they are right in front of you. You know. But I can tell by the look on the woman's face, she didn't say a word to me. When I said to her, will you do what I tell you to do? She said, I will if it's easy. Now what I told her to do was lift your hands and start praising God because you are. He are not going to be. You are. But I could tell by this look on her face, I knew exactly what she's thinking. You see, for a moment she got revelation of light and truth. If we were healed, I was. For a moment she sided in with the word. But then here this cloud like came over her face. I know what she's thinking. She's thinking, well, if I was healed, how come I'm still sitting here crippled? If I was healed, see, people think these things that belong to you will automatically become yours. No, you have to know it and then believe it. Just because it belongs to you won't do you any good if you don't know it. Last church I pastored was down in East Texas, down in the oil field of East Texas. And we had members all out through the oil field because all of them were workers. Some of them, you know, ran leases, pump leases. Well, I was out visiting some folks one day, and I ran out of fuel, out of gasoline. Well, I could have bought some if I'd had any money. I didn't have any credit card or anything. But, you know, I didn't have any money on my call, one of my deacons. Because he wasn't very far away. He was on a lease over there. He lived on it. To come, you see, and bring me some gasoline. So he came and brought me some gasoline. Got me back into town. See, because I'm out here in the country. Out here on, you know, in the field, as we call it. And so I thanked him for it, you know. Paid him for it. Got me some, you know, some money. And filled my tank up. You know, and you could fill it up just for $2 or $3 in those days. But it looked like those days are gone forever. Then I happened to be looking in my billfold a few days later. This was 1947, the month of October. I knew you'd want to know which month it was. Now you see this billfold, it was similar to this billfold. You see, there's a compartment there, but you pull up this little flap and open up, and there's a secret compartment. See, and so I usually didn't carry any money there. I carry my money here in a money clip, my pocket. And so I'm looking in there, you know, and I know some of you know why I did. I looked in there, and there's a $20 bill staring me right in the face. And I had that billfold right on me and in my pocket off out there on that country road. And at first I thought, You know, God's putting money in my billfold now. There's a $20 bill. There's a $20 bill. And then it dawned on me, I had decided early I'd start saving money up to buy my wife a Christmas present, and I'd put that $20 bill in there. Well, now, who did that $20 bill belong to? First National Bank of Broken Arrow? No. Didn't even know there's such a place as Broken Arrow in those days. Who did it belong to? It's mine. It was mine. Wasn't it? But I didn't know it. So it wouldn't buy a gallon of gas. Man, you could fill your tank up three times with a $20 bill. No, you used to fill your tank up around $5 in those days. It was mine, wasn't it? It was right on my person. It belonged to me, but it didn't help me a bit in the world when I got in trouble because I didn't know I had it. Can't you see spirits are the same things, true friends? If you don't know what belongs to you, it won't help you the bit in the world. A lot of folks have thought, well, if these are ours, why don't we have them? You have to find out what belongs to you. Believe it. Walk in the light of it. And then it will become real in your life. So, I can see, you see, that this woman's getting back into the mental realm. Oh, I want to say it again. I keep on saying it. I've been saying it for many, many years. As long as Satan can hold you in the arena of reason, he'll defeat you, he'll whip you in every battle, in every conflict. But if you hold him in the arena of faith, you'll defeat him every single time. Praise God. So I see that momentarily she's gotten over in the arena of faith. She's about to slip back in the arena of reason, and it'll hold her in that chair and keep the manifestation from coming. So that's the reason I said real quickly, will you do what I tell you to do? And she said, I will if it's easy. I said, it's the easiest thing you ever did. Lift up both hands and start praising God because you are healed. Not going to be. Now, don't just say that because I told you to say it. Say it on the basis of what you just read and know for yourself. If we were, I was. Now, that same dear little old woman, that specialist had said they'll never walk again. And for four solid years had been tied to a chair. Who a little while before had been crying, please Jesus, oh please heal me. Oh, I want to walk. Oh Lord, you know I'm so helpless. I can't wait on myself. I have to be waited on. Oh, heal me. Heal my limbs. Heal my knees. Heal me. Same little woman. With no manifestation in sight. But the same little woman with a smile on her face, because I watched her. You know, the Bible said to watch and pray. I kept my eyes open. She closed her eyes. But her face lit up like a neon sign turned on in the dark. And she began to say, oh, I'm so glad I'm healed. Oh, I'm so glad I can walk again. I thought to myself, some people sitting out there thought that poor silly woman. Dear Lord, can't you see she's still sitting there? Nothing's happened. I can see that. I've got good sense, you know. I'll put a question mark after that. Amen. I just said that because I know people have said that to me. But she said, oh, I'm so glad I'm healed. I'm so glad I can walk. Oh, Lord, she said, you know how tired I got sitting around all those years, helpless and couldn't wait on myself. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to be waited on anymore. She just acting like it's so. You know, if by his stripes you were healed, then I was, and so it is so, isn't it? I said, isn't it? I turned to the congregation and said, let's all lift our hands and praise God with this dear sister because she is healed, not going to be. I'd say most of us did that very thing, just lifted our hands and praised God with her while she continued to say, I'm so glad I'm well. Then I turned around and said to her, when people cease to praise God, you know, just standing a few feet away from her, and I just said to her, now, my sister, arise and walk in Jesus' name. God is my witness, hundreds of people, that instantly she rose up and began to jump and leap all across the front of the church. And somebody went off and told a lie on me. They said, "You know that fella Hagin healed a cripple woman over there last night." I didn't do any such a thing. Jesus healed her nearly 2,000 years ago. She just found out about it last night. Say it out loud. Healing belongs to us. Now make it personal. Healing belongs to me. Oh, friends, it's all so simple. Faith is acting on God's word. Say that out loud. Say this. Faith is acting like God's word is so. See, sometimes I think we build a barbed wire entanglement, so to speak, around faith till folk get inside and can't get out. We talk about, I do, everybody else does. You know, we've been preaching for years, you know. We talk about, you know, how to turn your faith loose. Or we say to people, turn your faith loose. Or we say, release your faith. And one thing or another. But I say, folks, sometimes it may be like a story I heard years ago about a fellow that was traveling. Well, he's walking down through a cane break down in Louisiana years ago. And he suddenly heard something screaming and some man a hollering. He recognized the scream as one of those Louisiana cougar cats. And the man, of course, he could recognize the man's voice. And it seemed like he's coming from up in front of him. So he ran down this path through that cane. See, a cane grew up as high as this ceiling. And he ran down through that, you know, and turned around a little curve. And there was a fella. It looked like he's holding one of these, you know, wild cougar cat in his arms. He ran up to him and said, hey, fella, you want me to help you hold him? He said, no, I want somebody to help me turn him loose. And I think sometimes when it comes to faith that we've built such a barbed wire entanglement around it until folks are all inside. They want somebody to help them to get out. Are you listening to me? How do you turn your faith loose? We just got through saying, faith is acting on God's word. Say that again. Say this, faith is acting like the word of God is true. Did you notice this little woman? As soon as she began to act like the word of God was true, this condition that specialists had said, best doctors in the state of Oklahoma, she'll never walk again. For 4 solid years, not a step, tied to that chair. But blessed be God, when she began to act like the word of God's true, it wasn't but a few seconds until she was just jumping all over the front of the church. Praise God. And we is praising God with her. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Yes, it's all so simple. I've had people through the years, ministers, pastors, I preach for, because I preach salvation, the new birth, and healing just this way. And they'd say to me, "Well, then you make it too easy for people to get saved. You make it too easy for people to get healed." And I always say, no, you're wrong. I didn't make it easy. God did. I didn't put it on a gift basis. He did. Salvation is a gift. Healing is a gift. Come and receive your gift. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, in a few moments tonight, by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to the law of contact and transmission with the tangible anointing of healing power, we'll lay hands upon the sick. Many are able just to accept it right where they sat and are healed. But those that need help, we'll lay our hands upon them. The contact of our hands will transmit God's healing power into their bodies to undo that which Satan has wrought and to effect a healing and a cure in their body. But ere we shall lay our hands upon these, I pray that should there be in this room tonight a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, a young man or a young woman that's lost, that's unsaved, that's a sinner, and on the road to hell, that you'd speak to them by your Holy Spirit. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, should there be people here tonight in this auditorium that are like I was one day, a church member but not saved. And on the inside of them, they really don't know whether they're saved or not. I ask you to speak to that church member's heart by your Holy Spirit. Should there be those here tonight whom we call backsliders? Those who, like the prodigal son of old, was in Father's house, but left, went away from Father, went out into the practice of sin and wrongdoing. I ask you to speak to that prodigal son and that prodigal daughter tonight by your Holy Spirit, that that prodigal son and that prodigal daughter will come back home like the prodigal son of old and say, Father, I've sinned against you, forgive me. That that church member will know there's a new birth, that they can be born again and know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. That that sinner will know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That they'll come to Jesus tonight, be saved, make heaven, miss hell. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that there shall not be one single person in this building tonight that will miss heaven and die and go to hell. But may every single person under the sound of my voice make heaven their home. I ask it in Jesus' name and for His honor and for His glory. Now as we wait a few moments in an attitude of prayer with heads bowed and eyes closed, Christians praying. Are there those here tonight that with the uplifted hand would say, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray for me. I'm lost. I'm unsaved. I'm a sinner. But I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus. I want to make heaven. Or you'd say, I belong to a church, but I really don't know whether I'm saved or not, and I want to know, and I ask an interest in your prayers. Or you'd say, I'm a backslider. Pray for me. Could I see your hand right now? Anywhere in the rooms. We'll wait just a moment. Anywhere in the rooms. We'll wait just a moment. Will not take a lot of time. Thank you. Here's one hand. God bless you. Another hand over here. God bless you. Anywhere else as we wait just a moment. Will not take a lot of time. There's another hand. God bless you. I remind you the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't turn Him away. Don't turn Him away. Are there any more, as we look for just a moment, that'll join these? At least three, I believe, have lifted their hand. Maybe four have lifted their hand. We'll look one more time across the room real slowly. Are there others that'll join these? With that uplifted hand, say, yes, Brother Hagin, pray for me. Include me in that prayer, please. In the name of Jesus. I'm looking my last time. Praise God. Thank you. God bless you. Listen real carefully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This is a very sacred moment. Let's wait in His presence. How many would say, Brother Hagin, I am a believer. I'm a child of God. I've been born again. But I've not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, dear friends, Acts chapter 2, verse 4 said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, my dear friends, that Pentecostal experience is available today. See, Pentecost is not a denomination. It is an experience that's available to all believers. How many would lift your hands and say, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray for me. I'm a candidate for that Pentecostal experience. Pray for me that I'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Could I see your hand right now? Anywhere in the room. I see one hand down here in front of me. Are the others anywhere else in the room? There's another hand here. There's another hand over here. Thank you. Anywhere else in the room just before I pray? Another hand back there. Thank you. God bless you. I'm going to look one more time real slowly across the room. Are the others that will join these? There's another hand. Thank you. God bless you. Another hand over here. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. We're looking a last time. Anywhere else? I want to pray for you. All right. Listen real carefully. Another hand here. Thank you. Listen real carefully. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Remain in an attitude of prayer, please. I want to speak to you that lifted your hand on any invitation I presented. I want to pray for you. Would you stand right there by your chair right now? Just stand up while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. Every one of you that lifted your hand for prayer on any invitation that I presented. I'm going to say it again. If you lifted your hand for prayer on any invitation that I presented, would you stand to your feet right there by your chair? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. They're still getting up. I am going to repeat it one more time. If you lifted your hand for prayer on any invitation that I presented, please stand right there by your chair. I want to pray for you. Just stand right now. Praise God in the name of Jesus. All right, listen real carefully. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Congregation, remain in the attitude of prayer. I want you that are standing, however, to open your eyes and look at me. I'm going to do exactly what I told you to do, but I'm going to do it the way the Lord told me to do it. I want to have you come right down here and stand with me as I pray for you. If you have your Bible, bring it with you. Stand right down here, right here in front of me. Come on, right now. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, come right on, right here, right now. Stand right here with me. Every one of you that lifted your hand on any invitation that I presented, please come. Stand here now. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you to stand with us in the congregation, if you will, please. Everybody's standing. I'm going to ask every Christian in the congregation, every believer, to close your eyes in prayer. Reach one hand in faith out toward these folks that are standing here. I'm going to ask you folks that are standing here to close your eyes in reverence to God, because you do reverence the Father God. And then lift one hand up toward heaven. You see, that is where help comes from heaven, from above. Heavenly Father, I pray for these just now who stand here. I bring them to you. I bear them up in prayer unto thee. In fact, dear Lord, they come to you tonight. And you said in your holy word, the holy scriptures, the Bible, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. So we know that you'll not turn a one of them away, nor cast a one of them out, but you'll take them in now and save them and forgive their sins and wash them in your blood and cleanse them and make them whole and make them new and fill every single one of them with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said in your word, when you pray, believe that ye receive and ye shall have. And we believe that we receive the spiritual need met this night in the hearts and in the lives of these 10 people who stand here now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now put your hand down and open your eyes. Look at me. I want to talk to you. We have a place of prayer. We call it a prayer room because that's what we do there is pray. That I want you to go to, and I have a twofold purpose. Number one, you can be prayed with in depth. You can be counseled with, instructed, directed as necessary, and very often that is necessary. And then I have a little packet of booklets that I want to give you. One of them will tell you exactly what the new birth is. Another will tell you who you are in Him. Another will tell you why you should speak with tongues. And these will be a great benefit in helping you get established solidly in faith on the Word of God. And we just want to give them to you. Would you turn and see that gentleman right there? Would you follow him right down that aisle to that place of prayer? Amen. Go right on. Go right on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, let's just lift our hands and praise God for ministering to every one of them. He'll not turn them away. Said He wouldn't. Glory to God. Thank God for every need met. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen in Jesus' holy name. Now, before we're dismissed tonight, how many would like to have hands laid on you for healing? Could I see your hand? You that lifted your hand, remain standing. The rest of you be seated. If you'll come on down here now, we'll lay hands upon you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want everybody to say it out loud, please. Jesus is the healer. Who is the healer? Then you remember that one way, not the only way, one way that Jesus heals is through the laying on of hands. Remember Jesus himself said in Mark the 16th chapter, 18th verse, that one of the signs that would follow believers was they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. And so Jesus is the healer. Laying on of hands is only a method of appropriating the healing that he's already bought and paid for. Amen. Laying on of hands is only one method of receiving healing. But it's scriptural, it's biblical, isn't it? Now, I minister like this. You see, different ones will emphasize different methods of healing because God will use people in different ways. The Bible said there are diversities of operations, speaking about these supernatural things. I always began by saying, I lay my hands on you. I lay hands on you by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm emphasizing a twofold thing. First, I have the scripture for it. He authorized me, as well as all believe, lay hands on the sick. Secondly, the Lord appeared to me in a vision, told me to minister a certain way by laying on a hand. So I always began by saying, I lay my hands on you by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to the law of contact and transmission. The contact of my hands transmits God's healing power unto your body to undo that which Satan has wrought and to effect a healing and a cure in you. And when I'm conscious then that that healing power went into you, I'll say, there it is. Now that's as far as I can take you. Where my responsibility ends, yours begins. That's where, no matter what's manifested or isn't, that's where you begin to believe that I receive my healing. Now then, when the anointing is stronger, I go faster. You see, the Bible tells us that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke or breaks the yoke. In this case, it would be the yoke of sickness. So I want to get to you when the anointing is the strongest because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So when the anointing is stronger, I go faster. I don't say that over everybody. I just say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Or just say, be healed. Or sometimes I just say, in the name of Jesus. Or sometimes I just say, in the name, the name, the name, the name, the name, and just go on touching folks because I want to get there while the anointing is the strongest. Sometimes I speak in tongues over folks. I don't try to speak in tongues. I try not to. But when you're over in the realm of the Spirit, praise God, you're not unconscious, but you're more conscious of spiritual things. And that's the reason when I began to minister, I don't want anybody to talk to me. I don't want to drop back in the natural. Very often our team tell me things happen. I have no knowledge of it ever happening. A lot of times people think you look right at them, but when you're over in the realm of the Spirit, you see, you're not looking at things naturally. You're not operating out of your mind. You're operating out of your spirit and out of the spirit realm. And if I get back over in the middle realm, you see, and go to looking around what happened, or somebody engaged a conversation, then you get out of the spirit and lose the anointing. Can you understand that? So then for that reason, that's the reason I say that. Praise God. Now everyone in the congregation, stand up with us. Praise the Lord. I want you to say it out loud again, please. Jesus is the healer. Now say this. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Now just stand there and reach your hand in faith out toward these folks as we lay hands on them. Praise God. Now, dear brother, I lay my hands on you. I lay hands on you by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in obedience to the law of contact and transmission, the contact of my hands transmits God's healing power unto your body. Now, sister, I lay my hands upon you. Oh, sakala framakandi kelebrokuta kasapayan. That's it. Thank him for it. Be glad of it. Dear brother, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Now see, it went into you, came right back out of you. Because you tried to take hold of it more with your mind than with your spirit. Keep your mind quiet and on Jesus. And in your heart, your spirit, the inner man, receive. I lay hands on you. Oh, by the direction of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. and in obedience to the law of contact and transmission. The contact of my hands transmits God's healing power unto your body to undo. That's it, right there. It's going into you now. Going into you. Go ahead and yield to that. It won't hurt you. It'll heal you if you'll mix faith with it. The devil's a liar. Now he's lied to you long enough and you've listened long enough. Quit listening to him. Go listen to God. Say it out loud. Satan, you're a liar. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm going to listen to the Word of God. That's it. Go ahead and yield to that power. Let that power saturate you. It'll heal you. That's it, boy, right there. From the top of you, you're trying to do it in your mind. Keep your mind quiet now. And on Jesus, and in here, receive. Believe. That's it. See, it went right into you. Went right into you. Patoka sa papa parete kisua. I don't care what the devil said. He's a liar. Say it out loud. The devil's a liar. Jesus said he's a liar. Satan, you're a liar. I'm not going to listen to you. I listen to the Word of God. And the Word of God declares, by whose stripes you were healed. I accept that. In the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hand off of him. Leave him alone. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Go ahead, yield to that boy. It won't hurt you. It'll heal you. Leave him alone. There you are. In the name. The name. The name. The name. The name, the name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in His holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Sing.
Blessed be the day.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Sing it again.
Blessed be the name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be the name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be the name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, some folks said you have to fall under the power to get healed. Well, no, certainly not. One meeting we were holding, there's a blind lady standing right in front of the pulpit in the healing line. I learned later she'd been totally blind for 3 years. She said she couldn't tell if it's daylight or dark, but she couldn't see an image, you know, a person or anything like that. Just tell whether it's daylight or dark. The minute I touched her, she fell on the floor under the power. And when she got up, you didn't have to ask, can you see? I mean, her face looked like a neon light sign turned on in the dark, and she was saying, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see. I don't believe I ever saw anybody as happy in my life as she was. Now, they were not the same night, but there was another lady stood right on that same spot, right in front of the pulpit. She had an incurable disease. I didn't say terminal, but incurable. Medical science could not cure it. She is under the care of the asbestos in the United States of America and had been for 19 years. She's the only person that didn't fall under the power. And yet she was instantly and perfectly healed. In fact, these specialists attested to the fact that her body is normal. It's believing. Are you listening to me? Of course, the power of God does heal, so yield to it. Let it have its work with you. If it comes on you that strong, fine. But you doesn't have to be healed. You understand what I'm saying to you? But of course, if you reject the very thing that God's trying to give you, well, then you're not going to get it. But that's the reason we try to get folks to receive when that power is going into them. And then to mix faith with it. Well, before we go, let's sing it again and be dismissed.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name.